4 o'clock. We're going to be gathering up at our house for dogs and horses. We'd like to invite you to come. And we've been putting the advertisement up there for you to catch hold of. I hope you'll put that on your calendar. I know you have lots to do. We'll have a good time. Some of you volunteered to appreciate that. And if you haven't volunteered, you can bring some anyway. Some dessert. We have some guys cooking some chili. And Michael Strauss is going to be furnishing the hot dogs. And we'll have a big time in the Lord. I know if your phone is like mine, it's telling you it's going to rain Saturday. You know, the Bible says that if a man is always watching the rain and the wind, he won't ever sow anything, nor will he ever reap anything. And so we're not going to look at the weather. If it rains, it rains. We've got a good place to get in if it rains, and we'll be able to get undercover. But I never did like making my plans according to the weather. I remember one of my grandsons asking me about the weather, and it was supposed to snow. And I said, I think they've called that off. And he said, they can't do that. well, they also can't tell you whether or not it's going to rain at 4 o'clock. From this point anyway, they might if it gets a little closer. But anyway, come, bring your kids and grandkids. Bring a tame horse if you have one. That horse you saw on the advertisement, that brown horse that was running, that was one that got away. And anyway, I won't say any more about that. Turn to the book of Romans, the 10th chapter. The Lord willing, I'm going to begin Romans. And what I'd like to do today is give you a little appetizer of what the book of Romans is all about. The life of Paul. We got down, we finished up the shipwreck, and if you read the rest of Acts, you know that he ended up in Rome. Tradition tells us that he gave his life there. We know that many of the letters came out of that imprisonment that he wrote to the different churches. He's writing to the church at Rome now. He has not gotten there yet. But he's writing to the church at Rome. And if you did a little research and background on Rome at that time, it was an awful, awful place. And we think sometimes about the world in which we live in and how bad it is. I think that we don't have much comparison to the Christians that during Paul's day and during the time of this letter that they were receiving there at Rome, the church at Rome. They had followed Christ because of the persecution. They had dispersed from Jerusalem, and they had literally went over the whole known world at that time, and they were just going from city to city and trying to find a place to stay where they wouldn't be persecuted, and then persecution would come there. But they held on to their faith, and they held on to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that he was able to change lives. See, there's just this tremendous difference between Christianity and religion. Christianity is that you have in your heart. It's not a fairy tale, it's a real thing. Jesus came that you and I might have life, and we might have it more abundantly. And that abundant life is promised even in the midst of all kinds of trouble and persecution. Even in the midst of the storms, there's still that abundance of life. Even in the midst of the storm, there's still that calm joy that is in the Christian's life, or should be in the Christian's life, that we know that the master of the storm is there with us. Matter of fact, he lives inside you. And we know that the world and the one that is controlling many things in the world, the devil, the Bible tells us that the one that is in us is more powerful than the one that is in the world. And so we have that one, Jesus, that is more powerful than the world. We have even greater than the Emmanuel that was promised, God with us. We have something even greater than that that is going on in our lives as Christian, is that the Lord Himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is living inside us. And so He that is in us is more powerful than he that is in the world. One thing that makes the gospel so unique is that when we hear the gospel, something begins to go on inside our hearts and minds and life and soul, that this is real. And we have a testimony that is happening inside of us that is testifying that this is the real truth, and that this is not a fairy tale. It is the real truth. I had the opportunity to preach on a few occasions in... I lost my mind. Where was we at? Overseas. Haiti. We were in Haiti. And we had gone out into the bush, way out in the country, out in the trees, out in the jungle part of that. And we drove up creek beds and across water and real primitive type roads. And we got way back in that area, and we set up a clinic. Be real strange to us as we go to the doctor now, that going to the doctor there would just be so much different going to the doctor here. But we had a medical doctor with us, and we set up a clinic there in the woods. And the one that was leading our group came to me, and he said, we're going to lose these people. As quick as they see the doctor, they're leaving. So he said, there's not going to be a time for us to gather them up. He said, you're just going to have to start preaching. You just get out there and start preaching. How would you like to have that as an assignment? And they were standing in line to see the doctor. And I got an interpreter. John Baptist was his name. And how would you like to have John the Baptist interpreting for you? This was John Baptist. It wasn't John the Baptist. It was John Baptist. And he was interpreting for me. And he was, I just fell in love with him. He was, I don't know if he was saying what I was saying or not. But he was putting all kinds of inflections in him, and he is making every move that I made. I mean, he was going after it as I was preaching. And these people were overwhelmed and burdened with all kinds of different gods. And they were scared to death of the voodoo witch doctors that were just all among them. And they'd heard all these different stories about God and who God was. And I started in the book of Genesis and just started preaching that the God we serve is the God of the universe. He created the heavens and the earth. And I think the Spirit came down, and I preached Jesus coming and dying on the cross, paying our sin debt. And then when I finished preaching, I gave an invitation for these people to accept Christ as their Savior. And I'd like to tell you that every one of them did. All of them didn't. But 13 or 14 of them did. And they didn't have to go back home and study over what we had said. They didn't have to talk to their neighbors or their ancestors or their whoever was leading the home whether or not it would be all right. I tell you, when a person hears the gospel and the Spirit of God penetrates their being and their heart, they receive the ability to receive Christ as their Savior, and their life is changed for eternity by the power of the gospel. You see, Paul was preaching a word that he knew that was able to change lives. And folks, we have a word today that is able to change lives. And it is the same gospel that Paul preached. It has not changed. And the power is the same. And the same Holy Spirit comes down and invades the life and the being of the individual as they become a Christian. And their soul is changed. Their heart is changed. Their life is changed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And that's true in our lives. It will be true in your life if you will accept Christ as your Savior. I have a passage that I want to read. It is found in Romans, the 10th chapter. This is a passage that perhaps some of you would be able to quote on your own without using the scripture. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and His holy word. Romans 10, we're going to begin with verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with the Lord Jesus, believe in thy raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, there's no difference between the man and the poor man, no difference between the educated or the uneducated. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? For whosoever, and are you a whosoever? I'm a whosoever, are you a whosoever? Every person in this room is a whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him when they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a proclamator, a preacher? And how shall they accept the sin? As it is written, how beautiful are them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God, please add your blessing to the reading of this holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. In verse 14, we're given three questions. We're going to examine those one at a time today. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed. Well, the lost cannot call on the name of the Lord to be saved until they come to a state of believing. So believing what? What is it that you and I are to believe if we are to become a Christian? Over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the Scriptures tell us what it is that we must believe, what we must come to believe. Look at verse 1 of chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What is that? Well, we know that the gospel is the good news. It's good news. Oh, it's not just some good news, it's the best good news. And really it is the absolute good news. It goes beyond any good news that there possibly could be. I like to watch documentaries on different things, and I watch a lot of war documentaries, and I watched one not too long ago about the end of World War II. And they showed several scenes of what was taking place in the city streets all over the world. There was this great celebration. They had got this good news that the war was over. And they celebrated in such great and wonderful celebration. And that is good news. And I'm not taking anything from that being the good news, and is good news. But I'm telling you, dear friend, if you'd hear me today, if you could listen to me with your heart, this good news goes way beyond that. You see, this good news impacts heaven and hell. This good news brings people from a dying condition of being on their road to hell, and their feet are taken up out of the horrible pit, and they have been set upon a solid rock, and that rock is Jesus. I heard a man say Friday that he had gotten to the bottom, and he discovered that Jesus was at the bottom. Isn't that good? He discovered that Jesus was at the bottom. And he brings us up out of the horrible pit, and he sets our feet upon the rock, and he puts a song in our heart, praise to our God. And many shall see that song, and their lives will be changed. See, this is wonderful. Wonderful good news. It is the gospel which I preached, Paul said, unto you, which also you have received. You have received it, and wherein you stand. Wow. By which also you're saved. Keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. He is giving out the gospel again. Here it is, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Is just exactly. It was not change of plan, because the first plan didn't work or the second plan didn't work. It's always been the plan. It's always been in the Scripture, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried. Okay, we got those two things we must believe. First of all, we must believe that Jesus Christ came and that he died on the cross for my sin. Do you believe that, church? Do you believe that Jesus came and that he died on the cross for your sins? Say amen. Come on now, if you believe it. Do you believe it? that He came and He died on the cross for our sin. And then Paul said, as he wrote to the Corinthians, there's something else. You got to believe that He was buried. And that means that He was absolutely dead. He died. He died on the cross to pay our sin debt. He was absolutely dead. And they put Him in a borrowed tomb. He was dead. They buried Him. Church, do you believe they buried Him? You don't believe that it was some kind of plan that the disciples came up with, and that He really wasn't dead and He really wasn't buried, and they put somebody else's body in there, and that this didn't really happen. It's just something that someone has made up. No, we believe as the church that He died on the cross for our sin and that He was buried. So you absolutely, in order to be saved, you have to believe those two things. But then He comes up with a third thing that you have to believe. Guess what it is? Oh, you already know what it is, don't you? And we're going to celebrate it again in Easter. We celebrate it every year. Nature itself celebrates it every year. Nature celebrates it every year. We're right in the middle of the burial because all the leaves have come off the trees and the sap has gone down. But church, you listen to me. Come springtime, the resurrection is going to take place and the sap's going to come up in the trees and the flowers are going to bloom and the resurrection is going to take place and the leaves will come back on the trees. Folks, He came out of the grave victorious over death and over the grave. And those three things, in order for you to be saved, you must believe it. Do you believe it? Amen. Amen. I believe it too. And those three things you must believe in order to be saved. Something else has to take place. Because the devil believes those three things also. That's hard theology. But the devil believes those three things also. But something else has to take place. And He said it in this passage. You have to receive it. He said you've received it, believed it, and you've received it. I was preaching in the jail in Newport, Arkansas one time. And we were sitting at a table, and this inmate that was there was talking with me, and he said, I want to be saved. I want to become a Christian. And so I took him through the plan of salvation. I went through the Roman road, and we got down to this, and I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin? He said, I believe it. I said, do you believe that they buried Him in a barred tomb, and that He rose from the dead? He said, I just can't believe it. He said, I can believe that He died for my sin, but I cannot believe that He rose from the dead. A dead man can't rise from the dead. I said, then my friend, you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved until you come to that place that you believe that. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Christ died for our sins. That He was buried. That He rose the third day. The Ethiopian eunuch in the 8th chapter of Acts when who's talking to him? Come on now, church. When I can't remember it, you ought to be able to remember it. Philip the what? He had two different names. He had two different things that he was known by. Philip, he was an evangelist. Philip was a deacon. And he was called up by the Spirit, and he's taken where the Ethiopian was, and he joined the Ethiopian in the chariot, and the Ethiopian was reading the Word of God. And he didn't understand the Word. And Philip began to explain the Word to him. And he asked about Jesus and explain Jesus to him. And then they just kept traveling along the road, and the Ethiopian said, I believe all this. He said, I want to become a Christian. I want to be saved. And Philip said, this is what he said, if you believe with all your heart, you can be. He said, I do. They stopped the chariot. They baptized him. Right there along the road, verse 37 says, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? It's the second question that Paul asked in the book of Romans here. The lost cannot be saved until they hear the word. So you have to hear it, right? That's our job. Verse 17, faith comes by hearing. How is it that hearing the gospel is different from hearing any other news? Well, look with me over in the book of Hebrews, 4th chapter. I'm getting close to being through, so don't leave me yet, okay? Stay with me. Hebrews 4, look at verse 12. For the word of God is, and the King James uses the word quick. Quick, that's not something that you and I would use, but the King James uses this word quick. The word of God is quick. I'm going to tell you in a little bit what that means. Quick and powerful. It's quick and it's powerful. What's it talking about? It's talking about God's word here. And it says, and this is not true of any other word. I love books and I like to read. Quick means it's alive. It's alive. The word is alive. Now, I want to say to you today that if you really read the Bible, you're going to discover after a little while, you're not reading it, it's reading you. It's reading you. It's alive. It's alive. It's quick. It's alive, verse 12 said. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. When a person hears the gospel, the Spirit speaks to him, speaks to his heart through the living word. The Father draws him to Jesus and he confesses with his mouth and he is saved. Then the final question is this: how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, you think that's talking about me, don't you? I'm going to give you some news this morning. It is talking about me. But guess what? Talking about you too. This word is proclamator. Proclamator. How is it that we can have lost folks around us? How is it that we can work on an assembly line with lost folks? How is it that there can be a lost man or a lost woman wait on us at Walmart or stand in line with us at Walmart? Or how is it that we can go down to the parts store and we can be on one side of the bar and a lost man can be on the other side of the bar? And how is it that we can go down to school and there's a student sitting next to us here in the school, or perhaps even that there's a teacher sitting behind the desk in front of us, or we go out on the playground if we're a student and there's students all around us that do not yet know Christ as their Savior? Folks, how is it that we can keep quiet about this wonderful, wonderful gospel that you and I have that is able to change lives? He said, Paul said, How can they hear unless there's a proclamator? Unless somebody's going to proclaim the message. Unless someone will preach. And that's really what it is. I used to pick some kids up on the van, Brother Max, back when we had the green bean. And there was a little girl that came about every Sunday, and she come to children's church. Well, she outgrew children's church, and we tried to force her into big church. I don't know if that's right or wrong or indifferent or what. But she came to big church, and then she said, if I have to go to big church, I'm not coming back. And I said, why? She said, I don't like it. I said, what is it that you don't like about it? And she said, I don't like what you do. She said, why do you do that anyway? Well, people might have different ways of proclamating. Some might stop along the road and change someone's flat tire and be able to proclamate to them the good news of Jesus Christ. Someone might carry a crack in their pocket and be able to give it to someone at work or leave it somewhere for people to pick up on it. It may be a co-worker that he or she's having family trouble and they've come and you're listening to them talk about you, the trouble that they're having, and you sit down with them and give them a shoulder or an ear, and you be able to say, let me tell you what's made a big difference in my life. Jesus Christ has. Oh, don't start that religion with me. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship. How shall they hear without a preacher? The Good News translation says, how can they hear if the message is not proclaimed? So our very purpose in life after we become a Christian is to be proclamators. Let's stand together. We need to prioritize and evangelize. We're going to dismiss our candidate for baptism, go back and get ready to be baptized.